Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special edition of Inside Athletics Podcast. I'm Sports Information Director James DeBoer, flying solo today for this special edition. Dave has the day off for this one, and we're bringing in Coach Kevin Griffin from the women's basketball team. Looking ahead at the ODAC basketball tournaments this weekend, we should mention we also wanted to bring in Kirby Dean, have both the guys in. And since Kirby plays Tuesday night, is a little too busy right now, and so he respectfully bowed out. So we'll talk a bit about the men's basketball tournament, a little bit about the ODAC track championships, which are also this weekend. But we'll spend most of the time talking with Kevin Griffin about the women and just what things look like for the women heading in as a top seed into the ODAC tournament. So first off, let's just talk a bit about track here in this special edition of the Inside Athletics Podcast. Track championships are on Friday down in Lynchburg, almost always in Lynchburg for the indoor track. But it should be a lot of fun. It's been very interesting to see our track teams this year gaining momentum. Surprising, I think, Coach Jason Lukowitz and myself that they've been appearing in the regional rankings. Didn't really expect that because neither of our teams are what we would call complete. We're not full in jumpers or, you know, other spots on the field. Both teams, especially the women, are very heavy in the middle and long distances. We got a lot of runners there and a lot of talented runners there. So just kind of surprising to see teams that aren't complete by full standards getting such regional notice. I think one of the teams was high as sixth in the south-southeast region for a little bit. But certainly we do expect our players to come home with some points. I think it's the top six finishes at the ODAC Championships come out with points for their teams. But I think we also expect a few first and second all ODAC notices. If you finish first at the track championships, you're first team all ODAC. If you finish second, you're second team all ODAC. That's how the all ODACs work for track. But I think we're definitely expecting a couple of those top finishes. Should be a lot of fun on both sides. But that meet is on Friday. I haven't heard notice yet of if there'll be live stats or not, but I kind of think there will be. Seems like a lot of our track meets so far this year, we've seen live stats coming out of it. So you're not going to see video or anything rolling, I don't think, but there will be results that just update every couple of minutes as an event gets done. It'll pop up right away. So you will be able to check those things. Just keep an eye on emuroyals.com, our athletics website, and I'll give you links to that as I see them, and try to keep you up to date on probably some tweets as well on Twitter and Facebook splashes as well with the track championships on Friday. Of course, the other big thing is the ODAC basketball tournaments this weekend. In Salem, things start up on Thursday, but the first round games actually starting tonight on Monday. And we'll talk a bit about this one with Kevin as well, just the addition on the women's side of all these first round games. We've seen that on the men's side for a couple of years now, and those will start up on Tuesday, but the women did go to that first round selection as well with the addition of Shenandoah to the league this year. But let's talk first about the men just for a little bit before we bring Kevin on here. Our Royals coming in as a number 9 seed in the ODAC tournament out of 12 teams, so that means they do play one of those first round games. They'll play Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on the road at the 8th seed Washington and Lee. I know it was a bit of a disappointing end to the regular season for our run-in Royals. For the most part, it felt like during the year, you know, we played a lot of tough teams from the upper part of the ODAC standings, and I know Coach Kirby Dean will tell you much about that, how tough the schedule was this year for them. But it seemed like for the most part, they ended up losing to those teams up in the top and beating the teams down the bottom until we came to the final game of the season, playing host to Roanoke Saturday night, and a disappointing loss for our running Royals. If they would have won that game, they would have finished as a 7th seed and hosted a game Tuesday night. Because they lost to Roanoke by 2, they slipped to the 9th seed and they go on the road Tuesday night. So that really, really changes the dynamics for the men. It's tough to win in the ODAC. Anybody, obviously, we lost to Roanoke, which is the 10th seed. Every game is tough in the ODAC, but to have to do something on the road puts another extra dynamic to it. So be very interesting to see our men. They're going to Washington and Lee. It's a team we played once during the year, beat them 91-84 here at home, but that was also an overtime game. And I believe their leading scorer, Javon McDonald, I think is his name, he didn't play a lot in the second half or in overtime. Not sure if he had tweaked an ankle injury or what went on in that game, but he didn't play too much, and it was still an overtime game. So it'll be very interesting to see what goes on there. But I think one thing we're looking for out of our men, and I think we expected it all year long. They're a very talented team, a very balanced team, of course. And it's a team that if they get hot at the right time, they certainly have the ability to make a run in the ODAC tournament. They're obviously not going in as one of the top seeds, so they probably aren't going to be favored if you're looking at things from that angle. But they certainly have the talent and the ability to just score a lot of points. Even the games we lost against the quote upper echelon teams, most of them were single digits. Hampton-Sydney, one of the best teams in the conference, we trailed to them at home by over 20 points somewhere in the first half, but made a huge run in the second half and got it down to, I think it was 4 or 5 points in that game before finally losing by 10. But frankly, it was a very impressive second half for our Run Royals in that one. Even Virginia Wesleyan, which is heading in as the number one seed on the men's side, we've played them twice and both times lost by only 5 points, including at Virginia Beach, which is a tough place to play against the Marlins. And so we can certainly play with all these teams in the conference. It's just how the guys are doing that game. And so it should be interesting. Our Run Royals have a chance to, you know, If they play smart, get things going on defense, and hit some three-pointers, they certainly have a chance to make a run, but it's also the ODAC. They have a chance to lose Tuesday night and not even make it down to Salem. So it'll be very interesting to see what the men do. But again, they play Tuesday night at Washington and Lee. It's a 7 o'clock game. That's the 8-9 seed. So the winner will go on to take on top seed of Virginia Wesleyan. That game for the men, if they win, would be Friday at 1 o'clock. So, of course, we'll keep you updated on the Athletics website, but the Royals play Tuesday night. If they win, they'll play Friday in Salem at 1 o'clock against Virginia Wesleyan. And for both men and women, the semifinals are in Salem on Saturday, and the championships are on Sunday. Well, let's bring in Kevin Griffin. And, well, first off, Kevin, just thanks for joining us today. I know you're plenty busy yourself getting ready for the ODAC tournament, so thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, and I was more than willing to talk about Kirby or for Kirby if you wish for the men's program. And I'm kidding. I do think one thing that's interesting on the men's side, I didn't know this till yesterday, but I guess 3 of the last 4 years a team that has played in the opening round has advanced to the championship in the men's bracket, which is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. So I think for the guys, and I'm sure Kirby's already talked to them about this, it's wide open like you said. Mm-hmm. And I think they might have even benefited from if they can get through tomorrow night, you know, getting to play Wesleyan, who they play really tough, in that second round. So,
Yeah, anyway. I thought of that too. It's just interesting that I think matchup wise, I don't know if Kirby would prefer to play anybody, but I know they were matchup wise were probably more interested in playing Virginia Wesleyan than Hampton-Sydney.
Right.
And so it's interesting that because of a weird game against Hampton-Sydney and Virginia Wesleyan, and now a loss by our men, that's who we might get right in the second round if we make it that far. But well, anyway, let's jump back into the women. You guys enter as the top seed yourselves, so you're waiting the winner of the 8-9 game. You'll play Thursday at 1 o'clock versus either the 8th seed Washington and Lee teams. Both men and women from WNL are the 8th seeds. That's interesting. But and then they'll play Emory and Henry. That's the 8-9 game. They play tonight, Monday night, at 7 o'clock, so you'll know pretty soon who you'll play in the second round. Interesting for anybody at home who's trying to figure out when you guys will play. As the top seed, if you keep winning, you'll play at 1 o'clock every day. So Thursday, you'll play at 1 o'clock. If you win, you'll play in the semifinal Saturday at 1 o'clock. And then championship games for the women are Sunday at 1 o'clock. So it's easy to keep track of. Well, thank you for doing that, Kevin.
I had no control over that, but
Just taking a quick look at the other top seeds on the women's side, Guilford comes in as the number 2 seed, Virginia Wesleyan is at 3, and rival Bridgewater is at number 4. But certainly, it's fun looking at it. It's fun to see what you guys did during the regular season. You finished 19-5 in the season, 15-1 in the ODAC. Great ODAC record, obviously, for you guys. But as the top seed, let's just talk about that for a second. You can say whatever you want about pressure from the top seed, but at the beginning of the season, you knew you had a pretty good team. As you thought about the postseason, if you did, assuming you did at some point, is this a place that, you know, being the top seed, did you expect to be here? Did you hope to be here? Or did it not even cross your mind?
No, it crossed my mind. I mean, we were picked second by our peers in the preseason poll, so I don't think they picked us second because they thought that, you know, we weren't going to be very good. We knew the expectations going in. I knew the expectations. I didn't know how we'd handle those expectations. And I'm not so sure early on we did handle them well. But we sort of found ourselves after a really disappointing loss in early January and really started playing well. And I think a lot of that was just confidence. I think our kids knew, based off of last year, that they were going to be good. They also knew that they were going to, you know, have the proverbial bullseye on their back, and they knew what our preseason ranking was, and they knew that, you know, while we have beaten some of these teams, or while we can play with a lot of these teams, we haven't won a championship in a while. So we haven't talked a lot about it, to be honest with you. What we've just talked about, or I've tried to talk about, is just let's try to play the right way, and whatever happens, happens. So that's just what we focused on.
Well, certainly, looking at the span of the season, we've talked about it some, but I feel like it's been a couple of months, and we should probably at least remind people. I mean, you already have more losses this year than you did last year, but you had a really, really tough schedule to start out the year. I think it was 5 of the first 6 teams we played went to the national tournament last year, and so you just started with a really tough schedule. You finished 3-3 over those first 6 games, which isn't terrible against the competition, and since then you've been on a roll. So just talk a bit about that start, and I know you planned it that way to help get your women ready for this late part of the season. Just talk about that.
Yeah, it was a scary thing. I mean, we felt like we needed to challenge ourselves, and yet when you do that, you want to make sure that in challenging yourselves, you don't destroy the confidence of the group. Mm-hmm. That's the coaching staff and the players. And so when we came out of there 3-3, we thought some good things happened, and there were some other things that, hey, we definitely need to get better at. There are some teams that clearly, you know, it's like, wow, this is what that next level is. You know, there's good, and then there's really, really good. And we felt like, you know, when we played at Messiah, we saw a really, really good team. The other thing was that even in those non-conference games, then we come back to play in our conference, and our first two conference games are on the road at Guilford, on the road at Wesleyan in the same week. Yeah. So maybe not real smart scheduling. I don't have anything to do with the conference schedule, but maybe not real smart scheduling in just loading the deck early on, but we were hoping that all of that would pan out and help us in these last few weeks. I think it has, and you know, again, we'll find out this week later, you know, how much it's helped.
Well, certainly on one level it has helped you. You guys enter the postseason on a 12-game winning streak. That's tied for the longest winning streak in program history. The 1984-85 team also had 12 wins in a row, so it certainly helped you from that aspect. But in terms of that winning streak, you mentioned the other day that, you know, you said, I don't even know if our women know they have a 12-game winning streak. Whether or not they do you think, I mean, what do you think about that winning streak? Maybe if it's just you guys, the coaching staff who knows about it, hey, that's fine. But is that adding pressure to you guys to have that winning streak, or is that just more encouragement to know that you can play well?
No, I mean, we haven't talked about it with the kids. And honestly, you know, we were, I don't know, 9-10 games into it when you mentioned it. I just really haven't paid attention to it myself either. I just kept thinking we were playing better, and we had to keep playing and just keep. I knew that, you know, the Guilford game was going to be huge, and then we had to turn around and go to Bridgewater. And so I was just trying to go, again, it's so cliche, but just one game at a time, and who cares about a winning streak? I mean, it's great, and I know, I'm sure fans pay attention to it, media pays attention to it, but honestly, we haven't talked about it with our kids at all. I don't want to add any pressure to them. I don't know. Have they felt pressure this year? I don't know. If they have, they haven't really shown it. They've been pretty loose. So, you know, like I said, we try very, very hard. I try very hard not to talk about winning and not to talk about, you know, streaks and postseason and all that.
Makes sense. As you look back at the season, let's do that one more before we jump into the OLEC tournament itself. excuse me. What are there any games that stand out to you as, you know, this was a great game for us, or this was a turning point game for us, or anything along those lines as you look back at the regular season?
Well, I'll start with two disappointments. I mean, we lost a game at home to Elizabethtown, who is a very good team. That was a disappointment. But right before Christmas, we lost a game that we were on the road up by 15 at halftime and really playing well, but probably should have been up by more. And while I give them all the credit, I mean, they played well, and we just didn't in the second half, and I still can't explain why. But those two things, I think, sort of grounded us and humbled us and you know, sort of refocused us. I think our kids knew that we were pretty good, but at the same time, they were like, you know what, on any given night, it is what he said, that anybody can beat us. And then from there, we started playing well. You know, there's some really, really tough places to play in this league. And that for us started, I thought, early. We won a game at Lynchburg by double figures. They've given us fits. They're huge. I think they're pretty good. The game against, you know, Virginia Wesleyan here, went up by double figures. They cut it to single digits real late, and then we just sort of pulled away. That was a big game. Then, you know, two games against Bridgewater, rival, and everybody says, well, you can throw the records out against Bridgewater. Well, you can, but the reality is they're still good. So, and then obviously the other one was Guilford. You know, having to play them on the road and then play them here again a week ago when we knew they were tied with us in the conference record-wise and winning that game, I mean, that was big. And our kids just seemed to, you know, they just played and they exuded confidence and they were excited about the challenge.
Well, I think what you mentioned is very, one of the things that's very key that the women are understanding, obviously, that any off day you can lose. And at this point, every game is your only game. You know, the 12-game winning streaks, that's something that I have fun talking about. But obviously at this point, that all goes out the window. 13-14 game winning streak doesn't matter. If you lose, you can be done. And so as you head into the tournament, that's very key for the women to focus on every game and not get too far down the road. Let's talk a bit about your team as you look at the tournament. One feature that definitely defines your team is balance this year. It's amazing to look at the season stats as to who's leading you in scoring and, you know, by how many points is maybe the key thing. Your leading score is right around 10.2 points a game, but your second leading score is at 10 points per game. And looking at the stats, you have 8 girls that average 6 or more points. They're all between about 6 points and 10 points. So certainly that makes it tough for another team to say, you know, here's someone we need to shut down. You can do that with some of the other teams in the conference. Obviously, there's talented players in every team, but sometimes you can pick out, you know, the best player and say we need to shut this girl down, et cetera, et cetera. But your team is so balanced. How will that? I'm assuming it's a great help for you in the postseason. But just talk about the balance and how that affects you guys head into the ODAC tournament.
Well, I think you just said it. I think, you know, when we go into games, there are particular kids that you are trying to key on that, you know, you say, hey, this is what they like to do, and this is who we need to try to stop. But when you – I've told our kids this all year long, and again, the longer it went, the more the stats sort of played out evenly, is I would say to them, well, if you're scouting us and you're playing against us, who do you focus on? The amazing part to me is that – let's just take the 4 post players, and there's more than 4, but I'm just saying the 4 who play the most minutes. Kayla, Bianca, Jess, and Shaq. If you just look at their minutes, and we never ever go into a game trying to figure out who's going to play against who and matchups and all, it just seems like they always even out. You know, and not that one won't score more than the other on a certain night, but and the guards, it's sort of the same thing. They just, their minutes just sort of even out. And I mean, aside from Kayla Baltimore, she leads us in minutes. But everybody else, their minutes just sort of fall in the line. The points sort of fall in the line. They've been real unselfish with each other. That's been the key. I mean, they somewhere along the line, they figured out that, hey, it really doesn't matter for us who scores on a given night. And I said this yesterday to somebody else. I think we've only had one game where a person on our team has scored more than 20 the entire year. That's great.
Yeah, I think you're right in that. I was looking back at a few stats, and I know you had a couple of last year where someone, I think Bianca had 29 one game maybe, and
right.
Your balance has been so much more this year.
Right.
Now, let's talk a bit about Kayla Baltimore. You just mentioned her. She leads you in minutes. I feel like she's probably one of the unsung heroes on your team. Of your 8 leading scorers, she's last out of the 8th at just around 6 points a game, but she does so much as the point guard, as the floor general, getting assists, setting things up. She can score when she wants to and can slice to the hoop quite easily when she wants to, but she's very content setting people up, has been among national leaders in assist-to-turnover ratio, which, in my opinion, is a unsung stat as well. It's a very key stat for you guys, especially with your tempo. Just talk a bit about her and how she's brought your team together.
Well, I think, you know, no question, if you're just a casual fan, I'm not sure you appreciate what she does. If you're a basketball person and you look at our team, I mean, it doesn't take you long to figure out that if you're going to be good in basketball, you need a quarterback. If you're going to be good in the NFL, you need a quarterback. And when the key stat for me is assist to turnover ratio, you know, she's as good as anybody in our league. And like you said, she's getting, you know, she's right up there with the best in the country. And when you are trying to play fast and you can do that and still take care of the ball, and just the fact that, quite honestly, she's probably too unselfish. If I would have one critique of her, it would be, Kayla, you need to, earlier in the game, assert yourself more in terms of attacking the basket, which she can do. But, yeah, I mean, she's just she's got a lot of energy. And the other thing that she does, and very few people will see this, again, unless you really follow us and study us, is most games I have her guard the other team's best player or the other team's leading scorer. And I've put her on post. I've put her on guards. You know, when she's playing that many minutes and trying to run our team and play the other team's best player, it's taxing. And she's done it and done it well.
Tell me a bit about the chemistry on your team. I know that's something that you're always trying to figure out, is just the chemistry, and sometimes that's just who gets minutes, sometimes that's who starts. One interesting thing to help set it up a little bit, last year you had Bianca Ygarza coming off the bench, effectively behind a freshman. She was a sophomore last year. Well, Bianca turns into an all-ODAC first-team player last year. This year, you said, well, I better start her this year. She's an all-ODAC first-team. And so that meant that someone had to go to the bench, so Shakira Sykes goes to the bench. Well, Shaq seems to have been happy coming off the bench. She's actually leading your team in scoring, as a top field goal percentage person in the conference right now, I believe. And it just seems like everyone's pretty okay with things as they get their minutes. So just talk a bit about some of that chemistry level on your team.
Well, I think we're just going to try to bring everybody off the bench and see what happens. So, no, I think it's remarkable that those are the two that flip-flopped. You know, Shaq said to me a few weeks ago that she was disappointed in how she played last year. I thought Shaq played well last year. I mean, she was a freshman and made a significant contribution and started. You know, I thought she had a good year. She was frustrated, I guess. The reality is, could she start on a lot of teams? Yeah, absolutely. Could she start on our team? Yeah, she could. And, you know, I didn't even know till last week she was leading us in scoring. I'm not shocked. You know, I'm sure every kid on every team wants to start. But early in the season, when we sat her down and said, hey, listen, this is what we feel, and she was fine with it. She was like, look, coach, you know, she's earned it. You know, we don't technically have a true center other than Kaylee Yoders. So she was from the jump fine with it. She knew she was going to play. She knew she was going to get her shots. I'm not sure we knew she was going to do quite this well. And I think the biggest thing for her is, about 3 to 4 weeks ago, she made a concerted effort to go rebound the basketball. And that's aided in her field goal percentage and aided in the rest of her statistics. And, I mean, she's explosive as all get out. We've known that. But, you know, just the consistency.
I think it's been a lot of fun watching your team. We seem to have talked more about your inside players and your point guard in this one, but your guards are doing some of the similar things. I mean, Steph Reinheimer is drilling three-pointers, and it seems like even between your starters and subs in the guard positions, they're all finding their roles. They're finding the things they need to do. Alyssa Brown is a great defensive player and shooter. You have Raven Patterson coming off the bench, and she can do a ton of things, from driving to the hoop and helps get you steals. It seems like a lot of your players are just finding their roles, and I think that's key at this point of the year. But your style of play, you're certainly the most up-tempo team in the ODAC, I would say, on the women's side. And heading into the ODAC tournament, how does that style match up with potentially three games over 4 days? I mean, if you keep winning, make the championship game, you'll play Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Since you guys like to run, does that help you that you're running and you're tiring the other teams out? Or because you're playing so much over these days, if other teams can slow it down, does that help other teams more because you might be getting more tired by playing that many games?
Well, I'm hoping that we'll have done it enough and we're in good enough shape that it will wear on people. And, you know, a lot of times we try to say, you know, somebody might be able to do it for 20 minutes with us. Somebody might be able to do it for 25 minutes with us. Can they do it for 35 minutes? And can you just keep wearing on them? And can we keep ourselves fresh enough? You know, I don't know. I know that, you know, if we would win on Thursday, it would be great. Then we get to rest on Friday. Then you got to turn around and do it again on Saturday. We've not made it to Sunday yet for a long time. So, you know, we'll just have to see and get a feel for it. You know, certainly I don't think we're going to walk into this after going 15-1 in the conference against these teams and decide that we're going to change our style. I don't think we're going to be stupid. If we feel like and look like we're really tired and we have no legs, then we'll have to try to find another way to win a game. But I think we got to do what we got to come with the show that brought us here. So, and I think if we play enough kids and just, you know, eat right and get our rest, then we'll have to just play as hard as we can and see what happens.
So you guys heading into the ODAC tournaments as the top seed, looking back at basketball history and the program record books, just two ODAC titles before this in the 85 and 2004 years. And just once have you gone to the NCAA tournaments in 2004. Back in 85, the ODAC did not get automatic bids into the NCAA tournament. So I guess just best wishes, Coach, as you guys head in and try to put a new check mark in the program record books, hoping for the third ODAC title in program history. We'll maybe not touch base with you Friday again. We'll let you stay busy down there in Salem. But we'll certainly be back with our regular podcast on Friday. I think Dave King and I will be back together for that one. So we could be recording down in Salem. That's the hopes. And so this is the special edition. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it a lot, and we'll be back again on Friday. But again, just a quick recap of the ODAC tournament. The Runnin' Royals will play Tuesday night, the men's basketball team, at number 8 seed Washington and Lee. If you want to go down to that, it's $5 to get into the game. Students, college age and under, will be free. Again, 7 o'clock. If they win, they move on to the ODAC quarterfinals. We'll play top seed of Virginia Wesleyan Friday at 1 o'clock. Our women's basketball team is the top seed and get a bye out of the first round. They'll play in the quarterfinals Thursday at 1 o'clock down in the Salem Civic Center against either Washington and Lee or Emory and Henry. If they keep winning, the semifinals for them would be 1 o'clock on Saturday. The women's championship game is Sunday, also at 1 o'clock. Again, live stats, live video should be available for all of these games, men's and women's, through the ODAC Championship website. They will probably also be linked to our games themselves on the EMU Athletics website. But certainly keep an eye on both those websites and find the ODAC Championship website. It's a good website, a lot of information about the tournament, about Salem. And if you have a chance, head on down there and cheer on our Royals. It's a big arena. We need some voices in there to help cheer on the women on the big court. Should be a lot
absolutely
of fun. And Kevin, thanks for joining us today, and I will let you get back to your preparations. You got plenty to do over the next couple of days, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do. We do. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Well, thanks, folks, for listening to this special edition. And Dave King and I will be talking with you again in a couple of days. But until then, make it a great week.